Amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. Just be nice to the guys today, all right? Just I ask this for one day of the year. Be nice to them, just the one day. They really are. God made them the tip of the spear. They're made to take the heat and take the pressure. They should. If they're not, remind them. That's the way the Lord made it. Stand strong. Be such protection for our family. We appreciate the guys here. Appreciate our own fathers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your love and your goodness. And we just give all thanks to you. And we do honor our fathers on this day. And God, we just thank you how you use them in a powerful way. And Lord, I pray this morning you just open the word to us that we could see your word, to see the truth of it. You would speak to us, we'd learn something, and that, Lord, of who you are and how you work. And so, God, that's our heart and soul to set our eyes upon you and hear you. So just anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we've been going through 2 Corinthians. What I always love about going through books, and y'all all know this, is you just go through it, and so you preach on what's there. You know, it's, I'm going to say something a little sarcastic. I had a preacher of a church, and he said, and the question is, he said, I don't know, how do you find a message? And I thought, I didn't say, I was very polite. I thought, read your Bible. I mean, that was my, just read it, and then what's there, preach it. And because what it says is what God said. Don't make anything up, you know. And you run across things that are really difficult, and it's what God had taught me. I'll bring it to you and say, you know, this is really difficult. And I'll just do the best I can with it. So let's focus on the Lord. So it's really easy for a pastor to know what to preach. You just read the Bible and just read what it says. And then it shows you some verses and you go, wow, wow. And then we all get together and we look at this and see the truth of what God is saying us. And he'll speak to each one of us so we look at the truth. And so this morning, in the world sense, in the worldly sense, is a real stunner, you know. And so really speaking to the people of the church to understand something, and I think is incomprehensible to people outside the church. So let's look here at 2 Corinthians 5:17. And as we all know, the whole Bible is together. It's in context. It's just, you know, it's not a mishmash of stuff just to pick and choose. So you want to go through the whole thing. So here we are this morning in 2 Corinthians, and it says this. You think of all the other things we've learned so far. He says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, something about that verse, that's a fact. You may say, well, I don't understand. That's fine, don't understand. But it's a fact. This is a fact. And so what you do with facts is you try to understand what they're saying, and you grasp, have a comprehension of what God is doing. So this is a fact of God. It's worth reading again. Therefore, and I always, you know, when you see a word, you look at all the words. Therefore, I love therefore. You know what therefore means? Therefore means I'm talking about everything I told you in the first 5 chapters. Therefore, I'm just going to add this onto it. Here's the thing. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, who's he talking to? Talk to us. How about your next door neighbor and whatever, whatever, or XYZ? No, you're not talking to them. Talking to us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. New creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's a fact. When God talks to us, look, he goes, that's a fact. Now, So this means, and I take this personally, this means no matter how you feel, no matter what difficulties you're going through, no matter what your family lineage is, when you trust Christ, you are one with Christ. You are a new creation. What's your background? What's happened? Well, they make any difference. It's gone. It is gone. Now, we hang on to it, and we want to remind God. See, I like to remind God of my misery. You know, I just remind him. You know, I said, what are you doing? That's gone. You are a new creation. Act like it's new, and that's gone. Now, this is what it's saying. He's trying to tell us to walk in the facts of what he's done here. You are a new creation. Now, the old has gone. The new has come. You have been born again. Now, there's several, two or three places where the Lord uses those first verses. You're born again. You're born again. But he's talking about the same thing. You're a new creation. You've been born again. You're new. You're absolutely new. How many of you are going, but I want to feel miserable? No, you're not saying that. But you're going, but, you know, this garbage, you know, I'm still hanging on to that. Because it's gone. For me, it's gone. It's gone. Was it garbage? Yeah. You've been born again. Now I'm going to jump to 1 John, and we're going to look at verse, and it tells us how this happens. Now, we want to understand this. Like you say, we're a new creation. We want to understand what that is. It is a fact. So we want to understand that fact and how we live in that fact. See, we want to understand that. And 1 John 4:15 really does a good job and captures the magnitude of the transformation to make us, the old is gone, the new has come. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 captures the magnitude of what happened. Y'all ready? Let's look at this. This line. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, stop. Who is this to? Those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians, who is this to? Those that confess Jesus is the Christ. Okay, they just want to know, it's to you. It's to me. It's to the church. It's not to anybody else. It's to the church. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Now look up there. God makes his home in him. How did that happen? You tell me. Read it. How did it happen? God makes his home in you. How does it happen? You confess that Jesus is the Son of God. It happens. It's a belief system. It's for the church. It's belief. Now, we know the things attached to it. He paid the penalty on the cross, and their sins are forgiven. And he said, yeah, because he's writing to believers. He figures you already know that. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, makes his home in him. What happens when God comes in and makes his home within us? That's a fact. What happens? We're new creation. We're new creation. So that's how he did it. It was, oh, it's a new creation. Oh, that's good. And we'll sit there and just be happy. No, that means God came and made his home within us. And he did that. And when he did that, because we believed on him, we're different. God abides in us. That's why we're different. But it's not done. It's not done. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, makes his home in him, and he makes his home in God. I think I'm going to get everybody, line everybody up and come up and try to tell me what that means. But it's a fact. Okay, we can say God made his home in us. Okay, we can kind of get our arms around that. Wow, we can be a new creation. Wow. But it also is, no, we make our home in him. He comes and lives with us and makes his home within us. And it's like taking that by itself. You step out into God and we make God our home. Both of those are true. That there's a mutual indwelling. That's what it says. Okay, indwelling us. But we also move into him, and he's our house. We indwell him. And it's like, man, that's really a new creation. I mean, that's like mind-boggling new creation. He's in us, but we are in him. In him. A fact. It's a truth. It's a truth. So we're going to, let's continue to look and see what else it says here about this being this new creation. In the whole world, we are the new creation that God made. Now, so we notice this mutual indwelling that the Bible tells us about. You read it. You know, if you don't read it, you'd go home and say, you know, you wouldn't believe what Wallace made up. You'd say, I don't know what he's doing. He's made that up. You know, this is what the Bible says. So we need to pay attention to what it says because he's telling us something. We need to come to grips with this radical transformation that God sees us in, a radical transformation. Christ is not only in us, we're in Christ. Thus, a new creation. Therefore, if we can get our arms around that, okay, God, that's what you say, then what the Bible tells us, if we get that mutual indwelling, that transformation, and we're in God, he's in us, but we are in God, with him now, we soar. We're sure. We're indestructible. Now you say, oh, come on, there you go. You did it again. No, there's other places in the Bible that says you're indestructible. What does that mean? Before him, you're indestructible. Nothing can happen to you until I say for it to happen. You're indestructible. And so he's communicating that with him, we soar. Now Jesus, you know what Jesus would say? Ask anything of me, and I'll do it. We soar. Why? Because he's in us, and we're in him. And it's like, we soar. We are in a different place than anybody else in the world. People try to convince us. We hang on to the past. We put all sorts of obstacles to tell God he's wrong. Well, I'd never tell God he's wrong. Are you soaring? Then no, then you're telling him he's wrong. It's there it is. Or we can resist him. Okay, we resist him. We just don't do what he says. Well, I should have known. It's funny, I won't tell you what. Well, I will tell you what is. We were talking to a person the other day, Linda and I, and they brought up a difficult, complete stranger. And he brought up a difficult situation in the family. And the Lord, you ever had one of these promptings to just, I should pray for them. Just say, pray for them. And I don't know, you know. And they just said, so I didn't. So we left. And Linda said, you know, the Lord just prompted me that you would pray for him. I said, oh, shoot. shoot. You know, I resisted him. Why did I resist him? Well, I don't know what he'd think. I don't know what the people think. I don't know. He'll feel bad and something like that. Really, who I was worried about was me. See? And then, and so that I was good to walk off. And then Linda said, but God prompted her that I would pray for him. Oh! See, we resist him so we don't soar. What would have happened if I prayed for this guy? I have no clue. Nor will I ever. Nor will I ever. I'm just going to standing before Jesus, when I go to be with him, the first thing he's going to ask me is, why didn't you pray for him? I asked you to pray for him. Why didn't you do that? See? Now, he won't, but that's what I'm thinking. See? I prompted you. I prompted you. We soar. With him we soar, or we resist him and we flounder. How many of you, don't raise your hand, feel like your life is just floundering? The Bible says it's floundering because you're resisting him. Because he doesn't flounder. He doesn't flounder. He said, get in tune with me and you will soar. Now this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. So let's go look at Colossians 3:3. See, when you start seeing what this is what God's saying, other verses start opening up. You go, oh, look at Colossians 3:3. And you read this alone and you go, now what is he talking about? But no, in context here in Colossians 3:3, for you have died. What? No, he did. He's talking to people that are alive and staying alive. What does he mean to die in the scriptures? When you die to self. See, when you die to self, you depend on God. To depend on God, you have to die to self. If you don't die to self, you depend on self. And you don't depend on God. I mean, we've been through that. But he's showing right here an understanding. If you have died to self, your life is hidden with Christ in God. We're in him. There it is. We're in him. How do we get in him? Died to self. And it's just, okay, God, I'm in you. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever you're saying. See? That's the point. That's the point that they're making here. Fascinating. Now, when we look at this, we're trying to figure this new creation all out. When we look at this, God is solely responsible for making us a new creation. We don't do it. God's solely responsible for making us a new creation. When we trust Jesus, we are inwardly transformed. As soon as we trust Jesus, we are inwardly transformed. We're a new creation immediately. We don't work to be a new creation. We are one. Now, I mean, what he wants us to do is start behaving like one. But we are one. You know, you get your kids. I'm your mother and this is your father. Now behave like we're your mother and father. Understand?
Yeah.
See, that's what God's doing. I'm your father. I want you to behave like I'm your father. You know? You get onto your kids. You're not behaving. You're not doing what I say. I'm going to give you away. I'm going to put you up for adoption. I'm done with you. No, you don't do that. You're upset, but you got to keep them. You got to keep them. They're yours. See, so the whole point of it is God said, I made you mine. You're a new creation. You are mine, and you are a new creation. Now, I want you to behave like one, but you are mine. And I'm trying to make you to understand who you are so that you can live out who you are. Who you are. And God showed us previously in 2 Corinthians, he showed us how he made us new creations. He told us how. Before he called them out in verse 5, he told us before he how made new creations. And we've already been over this, but look at it again. This is how we become new creations. God did it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. God has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts is a guarantee. You're a new creation. That's what I did. So he told us in chapter 2. Now he just doesn't want to repeat it. He just, okay, you're a new creation because that's what I did. That's what I did in chapter 1. I'm sorry. See, there it is. Simple. That's what God did. You had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with being a new creation. I take that back. It said one thing. Two places it told us what you did. Trusted Jesus. Trusted Jesus. What's wrong with the world? Do you ever ask that? What's wrong? They don't trust Jesus.
well.
There ain't no well to this. That's it. They didn't trust Jesus. Period. Period. That's what this word says. Now, the holy creator God, with all his majesty, comes to live within us. That's a fact. That's a fact. Now this is me. Sometimes, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, God, but the Bible says, God, there is nothing. There's nothing. And God spoke. In the beginning, God. Well, nothing else. In the beginning. Wasn't this, that, or that? No. In the beginning, God. And it said, God spoke and created the universes, the earth, and everything in them. Heaven, earth, water, every creature. And the Bible said he just spoke. Now, these verses say that God, that creator God, comes and lives within us. You know, and he gets in us, and he can't do nothing. He can't do nothing. He created the universe, but in us, he can't do nothing. We dare him to try to do something with us. Can't do. Is that logical? Does that make any sense, biblical sense whatsoever? No, the biblical sense, man. No, he comes in, and there should be a transformation. And the Bible calls it a transformation. A transformation. That he comes and lives within us, and he changes us. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the verse? He says, we're changed day by day. See, he's constantly working within us, working within us. I mean, creating the whole, having us to change, it's easier for God to create universes than get them to get us to change. Because we'll disagree. We go, no, you know, yes, me, prompt me to pray for this guy. I ain't praying for this guy. I don't know why you had to tell Linda to remind me that you reminded me to pray for this guy. You know, just so I couldn't just slough off, you know. And so God is working with us also. So the Holy Creator lives within us, fact. And again, when I step back at it, this is real clear in the Bible. Now, because I just read it to you, okay, John, 1 John 4:15. This is what he's saying. The thing about Christianity and the thing about reading the Bible, you have to believe it. And then the promises, what Jesus said, things he said, well, he meant that. Ask anything. I hear you. Ask anything. I will do it. And you say, oh my, so this is all in context of how we walk this out. How we walk this out. So, is a new creation. Something has to happen in us. Oh, I accepted Christ when I was 10 years old. And now I'm 50, still acting like I'm 10 years old. Know anybody like that? You know? And say, well, I believe you're still acting like you're 10 years old. But just me, between me and the fence post, I'm not so sure you accepted Christ. You know, I can't judge your heart. But man, there's no evidence. I'm not seeing nothing. Nothing. There's no change. There's no change whatsoever. So, something has to happen with us. We are not to judge others. We're not to judge others. However, such an interesting verse. Excuse me, I'm chewing gum while I'm preaching, and don't ever do that. I'd like that. But my throat's dry. I can't, so forgive me for my not being appropriate here. So, here's a verse that's interesting that he puts on us. He says, listen, you have to come to grips with who you are. You have to come to grips with who you are. It's not trying to come to grips with somebody else. It's come to grips with who you are. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians again, but we're going to jump to the end. So we'll revisit this again. But right here, your new creations. Now, why are we new creations? Because we trusted Christ. Okay, well, period. Okay, that's it. That's it. No hidden agenda. However, we don't judge others. However, we should examine ourselves. How many of you have read the Bible or something that told you, no, you need to examine yourself. Don't judge others, but examine yourself. Listen to this. This is closing out 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You ever had, I've had this, I've done it. Wrong. People come, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I say, oh, you're saved, don't worry about it. What? You don't tell somebody that, you know? If they don't think they're saved, I might just go with them, all right? Well, you may not be, okay? Because we know how to get saved, but don't tell them they are if they aren't. You know, your kids grow. Well, you accepted Jesus when you're 6, you're saved. Don't tell your kids that. Don't tell them that. If they come in and say, I don't know if I'm saved, and you go, hey, I've been thinking you weren't for a long time. No, you don't have to tell them that. But you can say, hey, you know, well, let's go through this. Let's go through this one more time. We had, it keeps coming to mind, our son, and he's always giving us a lot of direction. So he came to know the Lord early, or so he said. Then one day, we were in church. One day, he's a teenager, and he just came in. He in the foyer, in the church. He's, you know, I don't know that I don't know Jesus. I don't know if I really know him. Say, I said, all right, let's settle it. Let's settle it, me and you. Here, right now, let's settle it. I walked over in the church, everybody else getting coffee stuff, and we're in the corner. I got my hand on him, we're praying for the boy to receive Christ, you know, right then. And he prayed, and he confessed, and received Christ, accepted him as Savior. And it wasn't years later, I was hearing his testimony. He said, when do you come to know the Lord? He said, I went and prayed with my dad in the corner of the sanctuary. The boy wasn't saved. Worst thing to tell him, he saved. The boy wasn't saved, and he knew he wasn't saved. So I didn't try to convince him. I just prayed with him, you know, that he would receive Christ, that he would receive Christ. So this is all like saying, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Like I said, when you receive Christ, something should happen. I mean, I'm sure there's people that receive Christ and that nobody in the world but them and Jesus know they're a Christian. I'm sure there's people like that. And I can't judge them, you know, like that. I'm sure. But there's a general rule. Something should happen. Something should change. Why? Because the God of the universe entered in you. Entered in you. See, that's why you change. The God of the universe entered in you. So examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Now he's telling you to test yourself. Test yourself. Come to grips with your reality. All right? Test yourself. Now look what this says. Or do you not realize this about yourself? That Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, indeed, you fail to meet the test. You may not be saved. Now, it's based on your decision before the Lord. But none of this Christian garbage means anything to me. I don't like their silly pot looks. I don't like being around them. I just don't want to be around. Have anything to do with it? I just wonder if I'm saved. Me and you both. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? You test yourself. You know, test yourself. But here's what's interesting and why Paul in 2 Corinthians is saying test yourself. He's not saying anybody else test you. Notice this. It's not saying anybody else. He says test yourself. And what are you looking for? Listen to what you're looking for. Well, I feed the poor. I do this. How about it? But that's not what he's talking about. Test yourself. About yourself. Don't you know that Christ is in you? That's the test. test yourself. Get along with God. Test, Lord, are you in me? Is anything happening in me? God, what's going on? Lord, I don't see any fruit. I don't see any reality. I don't see, you know, there's something wrong. I don't see it. You test yourself. And when you don't do anything, then if you, and then this is not true, you test yourself and nothing's happening, what do you do? Oh, I'm done. I'm going to hell. World's over. No. He says, God, I'm sorry. There's no fruit. And I have a good question whether you are in it. I don't know. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I believe you paid the penalty for my sin. Dear Lord Jesus, come into me. And God says, I'll come 100% of the time. 100%. Not, well, maybe. No. 100% of the time. He turns away no one who comes to him. Lord, that's how you come in. I'm testing myself. There's no life in me. There's no power in me. Dear Jesus, I cry out to you. I give you my life. Come into my life. And he promises in the Bible he will do it. What's the test? Is Christ in you? Will I feed the poor? Have at it. But is Christ in you? Will I help people do it? Have at it. The question is Christ in you? Christ in you. A lot of lost people feed the poor. A lot of lost people are nice to other people. I want to know the people who know that Christ is in them. And they're going to soar. They're going to soar and do more than anybody ever imagined. More than they ever imagined. See? Examine yourself. This is what it says. Now listen closely. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you. Don't you realize that? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Those who do not realize that Christ is in them fail the test. That's the pass fail. That's why I believe Christ died on the cross. Really? Yeah, I'm going to change. Fine, I'll get in. I think you understand those facts, but I don't think anybody's home. I don't think anybody's home. I don't think Jesus is home. I mean, by your actions, I don't know, maybe it's just nothing. I'm not seeing nothing. Well, what am I supposed to do? Test yourself. Get before Jesus. Jesus, here's my life. I'm going to receive your life. It's saying right there, test yourself. Okay, therefore, we should take this real seriously. I think we should take this really, really, really seriously about Christ in us. Amen? Okay. Well, now, the Bible is good, and he gives us two things to help us know if Christ is in us. Now, he's going to give us two things and tell us. He goes, well, I don't know if Christ is in me. I just, I don't know. You know, come and help me. Just, you know, and so it's like you could walk out here. What Wallace did? I don't know. He scared me to death. That's what he did. I don't have a clue, you know, if Christ is in me or not in me. He said, okay, here are two things, and you will know if Christ is in you. You want to hear them? Two things. Christianity is so simple. Just two things. First, are you ready? First, we must realize that God loves us. That's the first thing. You have to know that God loves you. You know, God, you're pain in my back. I don't like what you're doing. The whole world's a mess. My life's a mess. I'm just sick of the thought of you. He's probably not in you. and no love. You know, there's no love. You don't think God loves you. God, if you love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. You wouldn't happen to me. You don't love me. Now, I've asked God, why'd you let this happen to me? I love you, God, dearly, but I don't know why you let this happen. See, so that's different. I do that all the time, and, you know, I get a pass on that one. You know, I know you love me, but I don't understand nothing you're doing. Okay. So, we must realize, number one, we must realize that God loves us. Key, not we love him. Oh, I love him. No, it doesn't start there. He loves you. I've shared Christ with a lot of people, prayed with them to receive Christ, and they say, God, just, I just felt this desire to come here. I just felt this desire. I'm seeking God. I said, okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Before I pray, I'm going to make something clear. You didn't seek nothing. You didn't come here seeking God. God's seeking you. God's touching you. And you're responding, and you're responding. See, that helps. Do you see what I mean? The whole dynamic changes. Whole dynamic changes. Because that's what the truth is. We must realize that God loves us. Everybody say amen? Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple of verses. John 4:19. We love because we're so sugar sweet. We love because he first loved us. The capacity to love comes from God. Now, we think it's love. I'll say it anyway. It's fun. You get these two teenagers, and they're wrapping up, and they're so happy. They love each other. I'm saying, you ain't loving nothing. There's so much lust wrapped up in you, too. Ain't no good happening. You call it what you want to. It's not love. You know what love is. Just wait till after you get married. Then you'll say, yeah, but we didn't know nothing. See, and all God's people said, that's been married 24 hours. Amen. But see what you hear. We love, the capacity love comes from God. We love because he loved us first, and we respond to that love. He's done something in us and through us, and we love him back because he loved us first. That, folks, this is a test, number one, that Christ is in you, that you know he loves you, period. Now, another verse just kind of on top of that one, this capacity to love comes from God. Listen closely to what it says in 1 John 4:16. Now, pay attention to the words here. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. That's why it starts clicking and moving, because we start to understand the love God has for us. Then all of a sudden things change. God loves us. He cares about us. And then we start responding to that. We don't do things, for God. No, we're overwhelmed with God, and we do, and we want to hear what God has to say and to serve God because he loves us. Amen? I mean, I don't want to just beat. We love because he loved us. Love comes from God. From God. If we love, it's a witness that Christ is in us. All right? They have a question. Ready for test two? You're going to love test two. Oh, you're going to love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Test two. That goes with test one. And they both go together. We're supposed to love each other. Love each other. It's proof that Christ is in us. I love God. Some of y'all I just can't get into. I mean, what is that? God says, you don't love nobody. You don't even love me. You say something like that, you don't love me. You see? And don't we try to do that? I love Jesus. Linda's mother said the funniest thing to me. She showed me this guy she didn't like, said he's never going to heaven. I said, well, he could be forgiven and stuff like that. She said, I'll ask you something. I'm going to ask you something. Would you want to be in heaven with him? She always could out-talk me. I mean, it's just like, well, I don't know. I didn't look at it that way. I wasn't exactly thinking of that. But the point of it is, the Bible says, that, and this is a proof that we understand God loves us. Because if we understand that he loves us, then we have the capacity to love others. And if we don't love others, it means we don't have a capacity to receive that he loves us. I mean, it is all, and the Bible ties this together. We used to try to separate, but the Bible ties it together. Number one, that God loves us. Number two, we love one another. That's proof that we have Christ in us. I love Jesus, but I hate these people. Well, one thing's for sure, you don't have Christ in you. 1 John 4:12. That's just so, there's so many. Oh my gosh, there's so many. There's a slew of verses in the New Testament telling us to love one another. I mean, just look them up. Love one another. Just look up in the New Testament. I mean, slew of verses. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. Now, do you understand that? No one has ever. I saw God. No, you saw something. You didn't see God. All right. Don't disagree. You saw something, but you didn't see God. God says, no man has ever seen me. So, no one has ever seen God. Semicolon. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. What does the verse say? You know, I'm going to show I love Jesus. I'm going to feed the poor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, you know, it's like, great. But that doesn't prove you have Christ. Christ. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. What is you don't have to turn there, but what's 1 John 4:15 said? Whoever confesses that Jesus is Son of God, God abides in him. Because if you don't love one another, he ain't abiding you. He ain't abiding you. What's the proof? If we love one another, God abides in us. He lives in us. And then God's love is perfected in us. I want to see love's God. I just want to see the love of God. Okay. If you love one another, then it's perfected. If you love one another, people will see me. They're going to see me because I abide in you. And when you love people, they're going to see me. They're going to see me. If we love one another, God abides in us. I don't love them. Okay. One thing I know, God doesn't abide in you. Right? Right? If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected. I just love to see the perfection of God coming and fill the whole world. Thy kingdom come. And then he said, that's right. I'm perfecting. I'm showing the perfection of my love in you so you can stand out and show my love to the whole world. What's plan B? That's not what I was talking about. That's not me? Yeah. What I got to do? Try loving somebody. All right. See, loving one another is evidence Christ is in us. People, test two. Do you love one another? Test two. Well, most people. He didn't say most people. No one has ever seen God, but when we love one another, God is visible. That's what he's saying. Do you understand that's what he's saying? When we love one another, God is visible. People see God. God is visible. Love for one another brings the unseen God to concrete expression in everyday life. There you go. The concrete expression of God's love is us loving other people. Loving, and we're going to highlight that when we get back to that. Loving. It's a concrete expression. There's just no love. Well, no, because it's my church. And the love comes in a concrete expression from my church, those who trust in Jesus, and they have the indwelling Christ, and they're the love, and they're the expression of my love. Those people are. Those people are. By knowing God loves us and love one another, we pass the test. We pass the test. I'll feed the poor. Good. That's good. Maybe get a reward for that. But that make you pass the test. You pass the test when you love one another. You know God loves you, and then you love one another. You pass the test. Now see, he said, just pass the test that Christ is in you, that you are a new creation. If you're a new creation, it's evident because we love one another. Christ indwells us, and we are a new creation. Now, you ready for the next step? Isn't that fun? I mean, it really is simple. It really, you know, and it's like I said before, you know, if we do what he says, you know, we soar. If we don't, we resist him. We resist him. So that's the question. The decision is yours. I want you to soar, but here's two things you got to do. And you're not getting off the ground. Not getting off the ground. Now, we have something that goes directly to our behavior. This goes directly to our behavior. And by the way, it's in 2 Corinthians. All this is together. All this is together. We know God loves us, and we love one another. Now, guess what? Now, God is in us. We are in God. Now, the love of God controls us. See, now the love. See, now this is at the end. It's not the first. It's like, God loves me. We love one another. He established us. He said, he's in us. We're in him. And the love of God's in us. And we step in the love of God. Now we're immersed in the love of God. And then he says this. Now the love of God controls us. He just acts like a terrible, nasty person. And he's, you know, nothing good showing out of him. No love coming out of him. Well, first of all, you have to make the assessment is that Christ is not in him. You know, so you got to deal with that. Why? Because love comes from Christ in you. How do you know Christ is in you? God loves us and we love one another. I mean, you see the... Okay. But now it's happening. We're in it. The love of Christ controls us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, I just want to let you know, this came after the other verses. Actually, just before 17, when he's saying we're a new creation. All in context. The love of Christ controls us. Now, the NIV uses a perfectly good word. I actually like it better. It says the love of God compels us. We're compelled to do and behave like Jesus. We're compelled. We want to do it. We want to do it. For the love of God controls us, compels us, because we have concluded that Jesus has died for all. Therefore, all have died to self and acting independent of God. Now you see? He abides in us. We abide in him. Love abides in us. We step in into the love and we abide within his love. And now his love in us, the love we step into, that love controls us. Now our behavior changes. Now the church's behavior changes. Now we soar. Now we move supernaturally. Now the love controls us. Now listen closely, but we could go off on this. I won't, but we don't need an outside law. We don't need an outside law. Because the inside love of Christ compels us to behave like Jesus. Now I'm going to get... Well, I kind of get in your business. I mean, getting your business a little bit helps you kind of, well, you know, but it makes sense. People, I'm all for counseling and walking through, you know, people been through, and God says disciple and counsel and walk with people. And I think you should. But when you counsel people, you should be in the middle of Jesus. You should be in the middle of Jesus. Now, what we know, now I'm going to get touchy, and people, you know, some, you got a man and wife, they just detest each other. They're coming together, and you just detest each other. And they have 20 years of problems, and they want you to solve it in an hour. You know, and they don't like each other. They don't like each other. So they're Christians, and we love Jesus. Well, you don't like each other. Then what do you know? I'm just telling you, what do you know right now? What do you know? Where's Jesus? He ain't with them. Oh, Jesus fills me. Maybe. I can't find any biblical words to substantiate that. The evidence tells me that you don't even have Christ in you. Neither one of you. And the only way that the love of God can compel each one of you is to put your faith in Christ, die to self, and God, just fill me with yourself, abide in me, and I'll abide in you, and then I'll have the capacity to love that spouse. And if you don't do that, you can't get there from here. You can't get there from here. I'm telling you. And if you do, it's the biggest miracle you ever saw. You see what I'm saying? And you do it one at a time. You know, I love Jesus, okay. But what I'm saying, there's nothing of Jesus in you. Why? Because you don't love. But you don't know. No, I don't know. But I do know what Jesus did. And you love. You're to love because he first loved you. You love. And he abides in you. And because he abides in you, then you have the capacity to love. I'll never love him. Well, you reverse that. Then I don't want to hurt your feelings. I want to walk with you. But you're denying Christ. You're denying Christ. Because the only strength to do this comes from Christ. See, it needs to be Christ-centered. It needs to be Christ-centered. That's not going to happen. Not true love. Not true love. True love is way different than lust. Sometimes we confuse the two. But no, that's how love works. He controls and impacts our behavior to love one another, which includes your spouse. I like everything but her. No, it's like everybody loves him but her. Anyway, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? But here's the whole point of it. You're under the whole point of the expert. God is telling us how this works and how you put it back together. And it's through the love of Christ coming to him and him working with us. And I'm going to go. So now here's a note. I want to make a note. And this is important. Again, we don't have enough time to go on this side rows. You've got to understand who God is talking to. He's talking to the church. This book, it's to the church. He's trying to get the church, get their act together. Paul is not speaking of all men, but only to those who live in union with the resurrected Christ. I love it. I mean, go pull this on your neighbors. He's not going to. I mean, it'll be good, and it says he loves the world, and we're to love the people, you know, and we to share Christ and what have you. No, it's the act of God for anybody to come to know Jesus. This specific, what he's talking about here, is believers loving one another. This is who he's talking to. He's not talking to the lost guy down the road, because that lost guy down the road has no capacity to love back until he walk through them and lead them to Christ. and then they become a new creation, and then you can walk them through. It's not. Paul's not speaking to all men, only those who live in union with the resurrected Christ. He's talking to new creations. I'm just telling you here. I'm not telling you not to love other people, but understand the difference. New creations, and there's a connection with new creations that the world doesn't have. He so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, because they didn't have him. He's talking about the new creation here. He says to love one another, and it's like automatically, because it's like Jesus talking to Jesus. Jesus, the Jesus in me is talking to the Jesus in you, and there should be an interaction here. And a walk here. It's a different. We're a different group of people. We are new creation. Your next door neighbor is not your new creation. Maybe God's going to touch them. Just, y'all with me? Now you just make your stuff up and just go do what you want to do. Okay? But this, if you do what the Bible says, you understand why some things work and why some things don't work. And believe me, you got enough on your hands to try to love everybody in the church. Except me, I just automatically love everybody. Okay. And this is where, like in Galatians, I just show you a verse. It shows you the inward working of the Spirit when you love one another. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have crucified self with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. See, that's how it works. Christ lives in me. So the Christ who lives in me is talking to the Christ who lives in you. And then you're able to come together and in the oneness and love of Christ, you know, to have a dynamic before God. Do you know what Jesus said? I mean, can you believe what Jesus said? He tells his disciples, he goes, they're going to know you by your love. Who's he talking to? Not your neighbor. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. They're going to know you. People are going to walk into the church and they're just going to be overwhelmed with the love of Jesus. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, my God, I love this. That's what Jesus said. They're going to know you by your love because you're new creations. They're going to see that this is good. I want this. I want this. This is good. I see Jesus. I see God. But nobody's ever seen God. No, but we see God's people. And that's God's love made perfect. His people. That's the way it worked. Now, y'all going to love this. Now, this is going to be really, really helpful. Really helpful. I promise you. I promise you this is going to be helpful. Okay. As new creations, we still mess up. We stumble, and sometimes we really blow it. And all God's people said, yep. Okay, and God knows it. Yet, we really blow it, yet we are still God's new creations. New creations mess up. Because we're people, you know, and, you know, Christ is in us and we're in Christ, and you know, but sometimes, you know, God, I just got to get off the reservation here and let these people know what I think. And then it's, oh, gosh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Or Linda comes up to me and goes, why did you say that? Why didn't you pray for that guy? Oh. I mean, it's hard when God tells you to do something, and then your wife also tells you the same thing God said, and it's just like, oh, jeez. So, we mess up. Yet, we are still the new creation, and God wants us to bounce back and keep pressing forward in Jesus. He knows we all mess up. Now, I want to share something. I want you all to pay attention to this. I really want you to pay attention to this. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it, is one of the most important verses in the Bible. I know I say this. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible explaining how we can have an unbroken fellowship with Jesus and continue living in his power. Now, did you hear what I said? one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. You need to write this one down. You'll use it on yourself, help other people, on how we can have an unbroken relationship. Like, we don't want to talk to him. We don't like to him. And we're going to tell him what we think of him. Yes, like no love shown. But we can still have an unbroken fellowship with Jesus and continue living in his power. Don't you want this, don't you? Because you mess up, okay? And we all mess up. And so he gave us this verse because we all mess up. Now, when you read the context of 1 John, it's talking to believers. It's not talking about salvation. The context, it's talking to believers. So you really messed up. Really messed up. Well, they're saying love your spouses, and you and your husband and wife just get in a fight on the way home. Says we didn't do anything he did. I'm mad at her. She's mad at me. We're done. It's just like Jesus left. There's no power in this car. Okay. But God said, okay, this is what you do. When you mess up, this is what you do. Ready? Pay close attention. If we confess our sins and put wrongdoing, mess up, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Oh, by the way, you're mad at your wife, she's mad at you, another one says, I didn't do nothing wrong, you did it, and I didn't do anything wrong. And he goes on, verse 10, and if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that's obvious. I didn't do anything wrong. But just by saying that, you did something wrong. I mean, it's just like that. See, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You did sin. You did sin. And his word is not in us. You don't have nothing to say, man. You have nothing to say. Word is not in him. Now, pay attention. We mess up. We mess up. This verse is so usable. If we mess up, pay close attention. Now, confess. This really helps, or help me. Confess. The word literally means agree. See that word, confess? You say, okay, confess. And we have to go through a priest, get down on their knees, and he sprinkles water on us and say, okay, I'm glad you confessed. And you're, so nobody's talking about. He says, when you, I mean, people think confess is in that, you know, type. Well, I got to go confess so-and-so that I did wrong. Well, you should do that. But that's not what this is talking about. It says, if you confess, if you will agree with God, if you will confess to God, if you will agree with God that it is sin. You with me? What do? You messed up. Agree with God, your mess up is sin. That's what he's saying. Okay? Who is he getting attention? Yours. God, change that woman. That's not good confession. If you agree with God, God, I messed up. I agree with you, God. I messed up. Self-examination. I agree with you, God. I shouldn't have said what I said. Self-examination. I agree with you, God. I did wrong. That's what it says. We got that? If we will do that, agree with God that it is sin, if we will do that, God immediately forgives us, immediately cleanses us, while never breaking fellowship with us. Oh, God's people said. I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, when he sins and does back, you know, he said, I just have to go out and have a beer or something and just get away and just to kind of let it settle before I can ever come back in the presence of God. I feel so bad. I didn't make that up. I didn't make that up. See, God said, no, that's not what you do. When you do it right in the middle of it, you, oh, no, as soon as God tested, God, I was wrong. That's sin. I agree with you. That's sin, God. I agree with you. He immediately forgives you. He immediately cleanses you. And you go, okay, let's go. You never leave God's power. You never leave God's power any longer than the 5 seconds it tells you to say that. And that's between you and God. Y'all see what that is? Now, if you do this, this verses, if you take these, it'll be so helpful to you. When you mess up, you go, hang up the phone. Why did I say that? What? Immediately. God said, okay, I got this. You're immediately forgiven. You're immediately cleansed. I got this. Why? God's in us. We're in God. And he just wants us to get square with him. And then he takes care of all of it. Huge, huge relief. You're constantly walking in the power of God all the time. All the time. If you will do this. Immediate forgiveness. Immediate cleansing. If you will just agree with God, it was sin. I'm so mad at my husband, I could choke him. But I know this is sin. God, would you please forgive me for this? I agree with you. I agree with you that this is sin. Oh, I'm still mad at it, but I agree with you that this is sin. Immediately forgives, immediately cleanses, and you continue to walk in the power of God. And he gives you the power immediately to proceed. Amen? See? Great. Now, counseling people. You wouldn't believe what I did wrong. It is the most terrible thing in the world. And you think, maybe close. But you go to this verse. Listen, right now, let's pray. Agree with God that was sin. And immediately you're forgiven. Immediately you're cleansed. And we're done. Right here. We're done. And we'll move on to do what's necessary. Anybody you're talking to. Oh, I'm happy to. Oh, I've done this so wrong. I'll never get out of this. My whole life is ruined. Let's give it to God. How do you do that? Let's go ahead. I agree with you, God. This is wrong. I'm forgiven immediately. I'm cleansed immediately. And immediately I start walking in the power of God. Why? Because I'm a new creation. You need to write this verse down. You'll use it with yourself and with other people all of the time. Whatever they say, however bad it is, use it all the time. So we'll close. Therefore, we confess and continue walking in newness of life. We're a new creation. We never left. Okay, you messed up. Okay, gosh, I agree with you. That was sin. Okay, you're forgiven. You're cleansed. Now keep walking in the power of a new creation. We confess and continue walking in newness of life. And Jesus and him crucified makes us a new creation. Therefore, like the Apostle Paul, we declare, 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. That's it. That's our problem, and that's our solution. Right there, it's really simple. Now, I just gave you a lot of verbose and probably too many words, but this truth, the truth is you're a new creation, and the truth is you can keep walking in it all the time. When you mess up, impossible. The whole world may not forgive you, but God will forgive you and cleanse you and take over and move in your situation immediately. Don't have it. All you got to do is agree with him. It's a sin. It's a sin. Amen? Hallelujah. And I went over. It's Greg's fault because he doesn't have any music. And so I told him I'd take up the last 30 minutes. I have to pick on Greg. He actually asked me. So I'm just picking on him. And making excuses for myself. God, I know that's sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And that, Lord, we are not going to be. We are new creations. And we thank you for that, God. Through the blood of Christ, we have been cleansed. We are forgiven, Lord. And we're walking in your power, in your direction. So we just give thanks to you. And again, I want to pray a special blessing over the fathers, Lord. You're represented here and around the country. And Lord, I just pray your strength for all of them. So we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can stand up. There's some refreshments. Go back and look at our new floor in the family room.